It's time for the Dr. Tanji Show.
Hey, you're on the air with Dr. Tanji. Talk to me.
As soon as I hear your voice, Dr. Tanji, my day is better.
Hey, Dr. Tanji. I took your advice and made some changes in my life. And you know what? I've been winning ever since. Thank you for your advice.
Now, here's Dr. Tanji.
Hey, welcome to the show that was founded on Kingdom Principles, a show that was designed with you in mind, a show to move you from where you are to where you want to be. And it's a show that I get to do every Wednesday with my wonderful co-hosts, Niles and KJ. Hey, man, how are you guys?
Hey,
happy to be here.
I know, right? Happy hump day, as it were. You know, the beautiful thing that I truly enjoy about doing this show is not just that, you know, it's aired on the East Coast at, 5 o'clock and out here at 2, and that we've got some wonderful engagers, but we've got people like yourselves that are not just, you know, talking about kingdom principles, but you guys we're living these kingdom principles, as hard sometimes as it is, right?
Yes. We live it. Walking on purpose.
We get it done, though. We get it done. KJ, yeah. It's so good to see your smile, man. Welcome back. We have missed you. You've been MIA. I know we're going to get to all of the good stuff that we got going on the show today. And we've got a wonderful guy that's been here before, about maybe a year and a half. Was it about a year and a half ago? Maybe 2 years. Mm-hmm. And he was blazing trails then. And man, even now, I'm excited to hear where he has been and what he's been up to. And we'll have that at the bottom of the hour. But of course, we have all things going on in the world today, news that we can use. Of course, we don't give our opinion because it does not matter. But what does matter is that we give a true perspective of what's going on and how we can be our brother's keepers. And that's what we do. But before we get to that, I wanted to, guys, go over just a little bit of what we've been talking about since August. And I intentionally slowed it down to talk about this soul, man. This, you know, we talk about the soul, but until you actually know what the soul is and how it is a fundamental component of your life, you'll make decisions that are based on what you're seeing right now or what you're experiencing right now, not realizing that what we're going through is temporary, right? Niall said it best last week. He said, we have to get to the other side. And that's what we do, even as we operate with a kingdom mindset. So I'll delve just a little bit on the soul, and then I'll turn it over to you guys, because I know that you've had some soulish matters, if you feel like sharing, that have been going on. And let's see if we can't shed some light and kind of help each other out. So I'll be quick. When we're dealing with the soul, I mentioned the very first of August that the soul is the mind, the will, and the emotion. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotion. And we have a mind, we have a will, and we have a component that is reserved for emotions. When you think about the soul, I want you to think about that place in your life. It's that center of your life where you make decisions, where you have feelings, and it's your think tank. That's your power source, is in your soul. It is real fortunate that the soul of a matter, when you're dealing with the soul as it relates to you, the human, the soul is, it takes its cues, for lack of a better word, from the senses, what you see, what you listen to, what you smell, what you taste, what you experience. It takes the cues from that and instantly wants to deposit into your spirit. And, you know, we know that the spirit of man is really the true essence of man. That is the spirit of the thing, that's where God resides. If you have chosen God as God in your life, then he resides in that spirit of the man. But that soulish man is the one that is at war. And the reason this is so important, because I've talked a lot about purpose and what it means to be purposefully busy, and I find myself in purpose a lot in life. But if my soul, if our soul is corrupted, no matter how wonderfully or talented we are and we're working in our purpose, if the soul is marred or not making decisions readily or making decisions from the standpoint of this is as good as life is going to get, then you're going to find yourself in a perpetual roller coaster of, I should have thought about this, or I should have, you know, did this. And you don't want to live a life of regret or trying to figure things out. You hear people say, I'm just going to figure it out. Well, that's not the case when God has already gone before us and figured everything out. Everything is done. I say this and I'll be quick. I don't want you, whoever you may be, engaging today, waiting until you're 47 years old before you get it, for lack of a better word, together. I want you to be astute. I want you to be purposeful. I want you to be intentional. And I want you to be the success that you are. You're already successful. So let's make certain that our soulish man is on point, so that everything else falls in place. That's my kingdom principle for today, the soul of a matter. So I'm going to turn it over to my co-host now, as KJ, because I really want to hear your perspective on that. I said a lot, I know I did, but I was intentional with that because you guys are in that realm of entertainment. And that soul, man, you guys are seeing a lot, you know? A lot more than the average person would see. So take it away. What keeps you in that soul constant? You know, we say God, 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 but he still gives us choice too. So.
For me, you said something about the soul being corrupted. And based on my understanding, I understand that. That without God, our souls are corrupted. So therefore, I need to form the best relationship that I can with God, that spiritual cleansing and that renewing, you know, each and every day. And then when I have that connection, when I continuously go to God, knowing that that door is always open, then I can trust my soul to be in the right place. And then I can give to my art. Then I can give to my purpose and you know, my path and so on. So I just wanted to, you know, kind of play with that a little bit, because when you mentioned corruption, I'm like, when we're in this world on each and every day, because of just the iniquity and the things that we're exposed to, you know, corruption is going to take place. But that's why it's so important to always go back to the Creator. So understanding that, you also understand that you have a responsibility not just to yourself, but to your brothers and to your sisters, but also to your father. So with that, you want to make sure that you give the best product that you possibly can to enrich, to encourage, to invigorate, you know, coming from that pure place. That pure place comes from that pure place that you have in God. And also understanding the power of your purpose, why God gave you a purpose, why God, you know, gave you your purpose, you know. So I think when you understand that, you know, I say this all the time, you start to walk a particular way and think a particular way, you know, giving the best that you can to that gift, because that gift is a testament to the people of God's light, of God's power working through you. You know, that's the gift. That's God's gift. We get to be a gift to other people and a blessing to other people because of the Creator. So that kind of keeps me in line. you know, just that constant relationship with God, knowing that sometimes I'm not, you know, where I need to be, right, and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing sometimes. So that keeps me in a particular mindset. And
absolutely.
That, God.
I love it. I love it. So that's that accountability factor. KJ, you're in the entertainment, man. I mean, yeah. The soul, we're talking about that soulless matter. And you know that mind, the will, and the emotion. The mind, the will, and the emotion. What was it like for you?
You know, I have to start it off with a quote from one of my acting teachers. She said that actors are pioneers of the soul. You know, we are always in that vein of understanding, one, why the world works, understanding ourselves, like, okay, why am I thinking this thought? And when we do venture into those deepest parts, we find some things we don't like. You know, it was like, God, like, why did you put this thorn in my side? You know, it hurts. I don't want to deal with it. You know, it's like, and when we go to God about that, those kind of matters that trouble us always, you know, that you begin to realize that thorn that he put inside of you wasn't supposed to inhibit or make you down. You're supposed to just learn how to overcome it. You know, how do you live like I'm asthmatic, I'm gonna say it. How do I live through life and I love playing sports and I'm asthmatic? That doesn't make any sense. You know, that thorn in your side is always gonna be there. But we need to learn, okay, this is just something I need to overcome. I'm greater than the pain. I'm greater than whatever is trying to restrict me back, you know? So that's what I have to say about that.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And your answers, guys, it's a soulish matter. It really, really is. And I'm grateful for that. And then I believe that anyone who is listening and want to take part in such a matter, I would encourage you, seriously, to give us a call and let's talk about it. The number here is 323-203-0815. Again, the number is 323-203-0815. And I am now, gentlemen, we'll be broadcasting live on Instagram along with Facebook, and I'm thinking, oh dear God. So now I had to go out and get more equipment to go along with my Mondays, and I'll be broadcasting from a different location, and I need you to stay tuned to see where I'm going to be for a little while. That's Monday mornings. I've got to kind of wind that clock back, so it'll be 7:30 Pacific Standard Time on 7:30-ish on Facebook Live and Instagram. I'm your girl, Dr. Tanji. We'll do just a few minutes of just making sure that you're ready for the day and that you're well encouraged. And then if you have a dream or a script or an idea that you want to bring to the masses, I know a little thing called, a little company called Cad Kenna Publishing, and we have a copy editor, that would love to bring your ideas and your dreams to print. Her name is Bella, and she can be reached at Bella D at CadKennaPublishing.com. That's Bella D at CadKennaPublishing.com. And the phone number is 470-534-2216. And I think that's everything for housekeeping, right? It's time for us to see exactly what's going on in the world and how we can help. Yeah.
Well, the world has been crazy within the last few weeks. You know, we heard about this terrible hurricane that hit Louisiana and it went up towards the northeast. There was a cold front that packed in more wind and power into the tropical storm, and it caused flooding in the northeast, and actually more people passed away from the flooding in New York than they did in Louisiana. So we do want to send our prayers out to, like, I do have family in New York, so thank God they're well, but I want to extend like my prayers and everything to everybody else who have family or who have lost family in that area, especially in Louisiana, because that's the second hurricane that happened, like major hurricane that happened this month with Haiti and now Louisiana. So that's yeah. Send our prayers out for them. You know, definitely. You want to say something?
I was just gonna add with the residents to like get the resources in their hand and not the other way around. I hate to say that on air, but is there an entity that really does work with people on the ground?
I know that Project Hope is helping helping Louisiana. And the Salvation Army, of course. Project Hope, and also there are different churches. Cape Coral's Grace Church has helped and collected donations to help with Hurricane Ida. And there are other organizations as well, smaller organizations that have reached out.
Yeah. Good deal.
So if you want to donate, go ahead and contact those two, Project Hope and Salvation Army, so they can send and deploy resources to help those families in need. So, yeah. One other thing, Michael K. Williams passed away last night. Two days ago. Passed away at 54 years old. If you're unfamiliar with his work, he was on The Wire and also Lovecraft Country. So I really encourage that you look him up because he was an influential actor and his work is incredible. He will be surely missed, but his legacy will live on through his work. We're going to I'm sorry. Sorry. But also there are greater news with Marvel came out with a movie this last weekend, Shang-Chi and the Seven Rings, which was a top grossing movie this weekend, and it led an Asian American actor, which is huge because it's one of the top grossing movies with an Asian descent actor on the cover of this movie, you know. So it's going to bridge a lot. It's going to create a lot of new jobs, you know, for this specific community. And just like how Black Panther was a staple for Black people, this will also be the staple for Asian Americans and Asian descent, because they're like, okay, now we're getting more diversity, more inclusion. We have more BIPOC people coming together. So it's a great time to be a creator. To be a creative during this time, because now we get to hear other people's stories, other people's lives come to life and see them on the screen, and also on via music as well. So that's what's happening in today's news.
Now, something quickly about Michael K. Williams. I took the time to research his background, upbringing, and I guess what developed him as an artist. And I want to say this. One thing that I did appreciate was his honesty regarding his struggles over the years when it came to, you know, his addiction, you know, drugs and so on. One thing that I think we can take away from, you know, Michael K. Williams as well, regardless of him, you know, having those struggles in the dark and then bringing it to the light, he still allowed God to use him, you know, which means that you don't have to be perfect, you know. You can have your issues or whatever else, but that doesn't mean that you can't be a light to other people. That doesn't mean that, you know, God still can't use you and allow you to, you know, shine in a way that inspires and encourages and so on. So I think that's what we should take away from, mm-hmm. you know, Michael K. Williams, man, because just to be able to see him put his heart and his soul and the characters based on his prior experiences and his struggles and so on, that says something about the man. That says something about the soul of man, who he was in God and also who he was with, you know, within himself. So I just wanted to add.
I like that, Niles. Thank you so much. I when you said the word perfect, the first thing I thought about was the Hebrew tense of that word, where he really does say that he wants us to be mature, not without flaw, because we had a big brother that took care of our flaw issue. So that perfection that he screams about in the scriptures is be mature in everything that you say and everything that you do. Your yes is yes and your no is no, right? So I really can appreciate that. You're right. We are flawed, and his gifts are without repentance. And that's the beautiful thing. Whether we serve him with them or not, mm-hmm. they're ours. He won't take that from us. And I that's very humbling when you really kind of wrap your mind around that, right? That you really have free will to do whatever you want to do. Yep. But I guess the old cachet, when you know better, you kind of do better. At least that's what we do, right? So my prayers and condolences are definitely with his family and friends at this time. I can, you know, only truly imagine, you know, losing someone. 54 is young. It is.
It is.
Absolutely. Yeah. But you guys remind me that you guys are in that field. So we are looking for 60, 80, 90 years of you doing what you're supposed to do, which is leading me shamefully into pushing, peddling my book, Journaling with Dr. Tanji. I am still selling books. I am giving away books. I am truly blessed by some of the DMs and the text messages that I've received from people who have read the book, and either they do not understand why I did what I did to them and ask them about things that they thought that they had been just done with. You know, you talk to someone and they say that they wanted to be a fashion designer and they're 59 years old and they're thinking that they cannot do it because they're 59 years old. And I'm thinking, man, this is the perfect age for you, you know? You came into the realization that it's still there. So it means that you got to do it. So please, if you get an opportunity, just, you know, kind of go over to Amazon.com and look the girl up, man, and let me know if there's something that I can do for you yes. to help you get just a little closer to where you want to be in life. I think I qualify, right? I went broke enough, right? So now I know what not to do in business and in life. Someone said, well, what makes you an expert? Sheesh. Are you kidding me? Do you have time? But you were about to say something now.
I just wanted to say that I applaud you as you are on the road to a million copies sold. You know, put that out there. Don't happen. So,
you talk about the ego a lot on this show, right? I better deal with mine because I just thought, wow, man, a million copies, that would be so great. A million people knowing that they have purpose and they matter and they're not a mistake and your voice is being heard. Start where you are. And should God say, okay, here's your nation, run after that nation, because he'll give you specific directions and instructions and in what to do. I promise you he will.
And let's not focus on the number a million. A million means a million souls. A million souls in God. So, you know, equate that to books.
I mean, it could be 2 million because, you know, you can share a book with somebody else. I shared my book with my mama.
And did you really? Did you really? Oh my God, I love you, man. I'll shamelessly say this. I asked Niles, we were on there, you were away. And I said, well, Niles, where's your copy? And I'm waiting on him to say, oh man, Tanji, you know, I'll get it. He says, and he grabs it. And I'm thinking, you know what? I apologize, man. I am so sorry.
He tried to set him up.
Pretty much as soon as Amazon had it available, I got a physical copy. So.
Wow. You know, I say this a lot, but I'll say it until someone gets it. When you have people that love you and that believe in you and you have a vision, even if your vision change and they don't leave you and they still love you in spite of the vision shifting or what have you, then you've got the right people that makes up who you are. You need those kinds of people in your life. You're not going to be able to do this thing called life and really make a dent in people's lives by yourself. If you think that you are a one-man show, then, you know, have at it. You're not the kind of person that really want to... ellipse, that'll be nice. But anyway, you want people around you that celebrate you and not tolerate you. You really do. I love people that love life. And I said one day, guys, that my litmus test is someone who's been through something. You don't want to be around folk that really hadn't been through anything. You know what I mean? They can tell you what their mama or big mama said, and that's nice, but what have you been through that made your faith, you know, kind of shake a little bit and your soul wonder, wow, am I going to be in this place forever? That's what we do on this show. We help you get unstuck if you're stuck. We don't know, Niall said it best, we don't know all of the answers, but we do know someone who does. And we're living this thing, man. We're not just on this thing every Wednesday saying, hey, look at us, you know, for 50 minutes. We're saying, look, we're checking in. We want you to know that you got this. No matter what you're going through, you're not in this thing by yourself. And it really does matter. So thank you, guys. Thank you so, so very much for doing what you do so well.
Thank you.
You make it look easy.
For sure. And I like that word that you use, unshakable, because, you know, I feel like you get to the point where you've been shaken up. Therefore, your foundation in concrete is not even movable at this point because of what you went through. Because, of course, for some of us, it's all good when it's all good.
Come on, man.
You know, how do you stand, you know, during those times? So,
yeah. Look, life would be boring if there wasn't any problems.
True.
If you got everything you need, you want, what fun would that be?
Yeah.
it wouldn't be very fun.
I mean, like adversity changes you and it makes you a better person. You know,
it really does.
And one of my favorite quote by you, Dr. Tanji, it's your faith will always be tested for authenticity.
Authenticity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Always be tested.
And I didn't understand that, brother, until I think it was the, and if you know me, you know my story. I did at least 6 or 7 times of literally going broke. And when I say going broke, I mean absolutely nothing, losing a place to stay kind of broke. And I've been there and I know what that feels like. So I'm like Paul when he says, man, I know how to have. And I know how to have nothing. And one thing I have honestly can appreciate about this journey on life in life with him, no matter what state you find yourself in, bro, he will never leave you. You'll want to quit, but he won't. And that's the good news, man. I say that even when we were like going from hotel to hotel and I still had to show up at the station. I still had to show up because somebody needed to see a smile. Somebody needed to know that it's good. God is still God. Just because you may have, you know, squandered your finances. That was me. You know, he gives you grace. But even in that, when you are given the opportunity to live with much, mm-hmm. please be a good steward over your living with much. I'll say this and then we'll bring on our wonderful guest, but guys, and I'm saying this to you on air, do not have the God factor. Do not. When those roles start rolling in, man, and you're like reading the roles and you're sitting at the table and they're asking you for, you know, telling you millions of dollars they're offering you. Please, guys, be true to what you said when you didn't have it. You know what I mean? if there were some brash promises you made, go back and say, oh, Lord, forgive me. And tell me what to do. But I'll tell anybody, do not write a check unless God tells you to write it. And I'm not being facetious when I say that. You know, $2,500 here, $5,000 here, $10,000 here, it adds up. And the next thing you know, you're looking and saying, oh, dear God, how am I going to get through this? Where did all of that money go? How many times have I had that conversation, you know? So at some point in your life, you have to say no. That's what I'm saying. You have to say no. You taught me that too, Niles. You said there's a time when you have to say no. KJ, there's times when we say no, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to say no.
Well, this guy that is coming up on today's show, he is a return. I was calling him the great extraordinaire before he went to the green screen, the big screen in Greenville, South Carolina, when he did a beautiful rendition of Black Wall Street and has been well received in that space. And he has just done everything, I believe, on one of the bucket lists that he wrote out. But it is none other than a gentleman that I love. I love him. I respect him. I love his wife. And I love his vision and what he stands for. It's none other than Mr. Dennis and Denimar. Do we have him? Is he here? He's coming. Okay. Then guess what? When you see this, Dennis, you're going to be like, oh, my God, what? She talked to me like that. Wherever you are, we wish you Godspeed, my friend.
Oh, there he is.
What?
Right there. Oh, there you go. Okay, cool.
Hey.
How's it going? I don't got the greatest light, but. And so we're going to rock
That's
with
all right, man. We see the man right here. Yeah. And we're glad to see him because you have been making waves, man. Welcome back. Yeah. Welcome back. You've been doing things, and I've just been sitting like a fan, man, just kind of looking and saying, I know him. We have a proverbial question, and you were asked this question when you first came onto the show. How did you get here? Now that you've left and you've done what you've done and you've done it so well, Dennis, man, congratulations to all of your successes.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. I'm thankful to be back. I think when I went to the show, I like had just really kind of like moved to Cali. Like, so it was a big experience to just see all that, you know, the Most High's done and then be back at this moment is, like, awesome. Because, like,
I got a lot to
share and talk about.
Please, man. You've got the floor because you've done a lot. And I don't want to hold you because I could just kind of have you right here, right? I know my co-hosts won't want to make certain that they get down to the meat and potatoes too, bro. So I'll be quiet and just let you know that your presence here, it speaks volumes of who you are. It really does.
Yeah. I don't know. Let's throw out a thing and we can start from there.
What are you doing right now, man?
Let's build it, huh? Yeah.
I want to know more about Black Wall Street.
You know? Okay, Black Wall Street. The journey, I think, with Black Wall Street started about 2014. I moved to Tulsa. I was living in Miami, and I had a friend there. I was writing a story. And I had a friend that was like, man, do you know this lady there in Tulsa? She knows like a lot about Black Wall Street. And I was like, man, I was like, hook us up. So we talked on the phone, and I really I don't believe in writer's block. I believe like inspiration. I believe like things are supposed to like come. And anytime it's like this stuckness thing, you know, a lot of things got to be evaluated. like, why, you know, because I just don't feel like that's a good space. You know what I mean? So when I talked to her, she had the puzzle piece of just things I was researching about Black Wall Street. And my biggest thing when it came to the story wasn't what we know to be like on the internet or what, you know, documentaries are like, okay, yeah, we built this city. My thing was, you know, it goes from a generation of slaves to millionaires. Like, how does that happen? What is the mind state shift? What are the little nuances that nobody really talks about when it comes to like building a community? And so like, that's what I was like excited about. And so I think 2014, yeah, I moved to Tulsa just with like, I knew one person on Facebook and I knew that lady that I called that one time and we had a conversation. And it was just like, I experienced like a lot of favor there, just really running into like a lot of the Tulsa natives and they really embraced me. They really embraced the story because, and I feel like they embraced it because, and I'm not going to name drop, but a lot of big Hollywood people would come through there. This is before, like I said, it's 2014. This is before, you know, the CNN documentary, the LeBron James documentary, like this is before that. But I feel like the story was authentic, true to the heart of the story, like the heart of like what the streets are saying, the story of the streets. You know what I mean? Like you got the commercial version and then you got like the story with the streets. So through that, I remember I was telling my friend when we did the festival, we did the Greenwood Film Festival this year. And I remember talking to like people that were involved. And like one of my friends, because I remember talking to him when I first seen him, I was like selling T-shirts at like some event and talking about like Black Wall Street, this Black Wall Street film that I have. Like, man, like I'm excited about it. And then sometimes it seems like you talk a lot about stuff that you're doing. And it's like you just keep talking about it. And it's like people are like, oh, yeah, cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, cool. And just to see, just to be at the festival and just to see him and like... And we had that moment to like re-talk about it.
Yeah.
I was like, this is definitely written. You know what I mean? Like, this is definitely written because I caught something earlier you were saying, like during that journey, there's so many roadblocks and it's like, is this even worth it?
Yeah.
Like, what's the point, you know? And so the story of Black Wall Street, when we did it, you know, we were blessed to do three cities. We did Atlanta, we did Tulsa, and we also did Tulsa, Atlanta, and Raleigh, North Carolina. And it was very impactful. Just a little bit about the story. It follows O.W. Gurley, who was a said founder of Black Wall Street, and he has a dream where he goes to 2020 and he sees the condition of Black America as it relates to 1920. My thought process always was, what would happen if an ancestor came and seen how we were living?
Wow.
Would they be like, oh man, like me, y'all doing it? Yeah. Or would it be like some social commentary on like, you know, like what is going on out here? Like coming from Jim Crow, coming from like an era that we're removed from, but it's as a Black man, it's a totally different world. And so just hearing people's responses, it was like, man, this film is what is needed right now to hear that commentary too. Because in our mind, we can think we have so much progress.
Right.
But when you bring a mirror there, and it's not even to like say we haven't come there or we haven't come there. It's just a mirror. So whatever you're going to see that you ain't going to like or whatever, it's that's what it is.
Right.
And so that the film, which is an introduction to a bigger film that we have, but this film touched on a lot of different issues that we don't really talk about in the Black community. And I was excited to hear people's, because, you know, as a filmmaker, you think people are at one space, mm-hmm. but then when you put it out there in the world and you get to hear people, it really just changed your perspective to see where people actually are. And people are ready to, I would say what I got from screening the film in these different places, what I got from people are ready to look inside. You know what I'm saying? And take that power back of, you know, our narrative only be shaped by, you know, someone else's narrative of what they tell us about ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that like that's getting old. You know what I'm saying? Like people are that's getting played out. People don't want to, because people are seeing that the game is like, okay, well, which I ask, you know, this question, it's a rhetorical question, but I always thought about, and it's a really tough question. Mm-hmm. Black Wall Street happened, the massacre happened, but was it because of white people, or was it something in our community? It's a tough question, because it makes you say, okay, well, I mean, it's a complex question, but it makes you say, well, who has the power? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Who has the power to shape a person's destiny? Wow. And that's a really deep question when it comes to Black people in our plight in America. It's like, is it racism? Is it bigotry? Not to say that that these things don't exist and these things are not monstrous.
Right.
But I remember somebody told me one time, and it was, when I speak to this, because it's very radical, but when I speak to this, I'm talking about a certain group of people. I'm not talking about a collective group of people. For sure. I'm talking about the bigot spirit, right? Like that spirit wants to. It's a thing of even in our downfall, wanting to be in the position where it is still a slave master. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so that's what I was excited about when you say talk about Black Wall Street, is about this film and even more stories about Black Wall Street that we will be telling. Mm-hmm. Is eliminating the element that we know.
Gotcha.
We know about bigotry. We know about hatred. We know about all these different things that we know about. I don't want to, like, as a filmmaker, I don't want to talk about things that you already are acquainted with, especially if you look like this. You know, you already know about that.
Absolutely.
I want to talk about some other things that you don't really think about, mm-hmm. that affect our movement. And those are things, I feel like those are powerful stories that give you an insight into right now and moving forward. You know what I'm saying? And so that's, like, as a filmmaker, that's what I'm excited about doing, is doing something that you don't know about. You know, right. Like stuff that you don't really think about on a daily basis. You know,
we talked when you were here the first time, and I said to you, I remember saying to you, you remind me of someone who has the spirit of leadership. Mm-hmm. And I remember you embracing that, right? Because mm-hmm. that's what leaders do. They answer those tough questions, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. it's something, if you're not careful, you'll get angry about. Sometimes anger propels leaders to action. Conviction mm-hmm. compels them to do something. Mm-hmm. And I see you as an example of that, which I've studied and read about, because mm-hmm. you want to, it's almost as if you want to make certain that, yes, the stories, the real stories have to be told, but guys, let's not make the same mistake, if that matters, you know? Mm-hmm. So I champion you for even doing something of that magnitude, that certain persons have been, like, having the platform for years and years and mm-hmm. never tackled something. Now, I won't say controversial, because there's nothing controversial about mm-hmm. that. You know, it happened. It's truth. So yeah. I thank you for that. I really do thank you for that. Oh, what were a couple of the things that made you feel like, you know what, this, maybe I've bitten off more than I wanted to chew at this moment mm-hmm. in my life? Or did you even have moments like that?
Yeah, we definitely did have moments like, I mean, those moments continue like all the time. You know, it's like one of those things where you think it's going to get easier in that regard. But I think it gets, you know, you have to really reevaluate continually while you're doing this, because there will the bigger level, bigger devils, right? So, you know, it makes you think. I think with this story in particular, I remember like it was like every day it was real, it was a real challenge, and that's why that's one of the things as you do stories that I think speak to the spirit of man, you know, and you have been given from the Most High, like those stories, like are not just by people, but by unseen forces want to stop those stories, right?
For sure.
So you get a lot of stories on the way to that. I remember like one of the days we were filming, every day something just crazy was happening. Mm-hmm. And one day in particular, this scene was very tough, how it relates to right now and back then. And we started filming. Well, the first thing happened was it was a big car accident when we were shooting. And prior to this, the Most High had been telling me, like, get your permits, get your paperwork, get everything in order, make sure everything is good, make sure all your stuff is good, like, just be on point with, you know, how you're handling your business. And so a car accident just starts off, right? And then, you know, like, while we're filming, we just started shooting. And then all of a sudden, it's hard to give, I can't give it a scene away because
for sure, for sure.
But the scene, it wasn't, we shot in the hood, right? We shot in the hood. And I mean, this is like Tulsa hood. This is like, you know, First 48 hood. Like this is the nitty gritty. And it was a miscommunication about what the scene was about because it's a movie. So when we pull up and shoot, you only see what is being filmed. You don't know the whole story. And so that was taken out of context and that went to the internet. You know, in a matter of minutes.
Come on.
And within a matter of minutes, we had the police department. we had a lot of people, you know, saying different things, and it was very tough. And the police, I remember a police officer said, because this is, remember, we filmed this. George Floyd had just happened not too long before that. So it was very volatile when it came to different things. And the police officer said, he said, why would you film something like this right now? And my answer was, why not? You know, like, because, you know, it's those uncomfortable things need to be seen in those moments where we want to relax or where it is time. If people feel like it's time to just, you know, just chill and fall back. And so those were some challenges like that. And where we, you know, hallelujah, we got through the scene. We were able to just get to the next part of it, but it was tough, especially when you're dealing with entities and organizations that were a part of some of the things that we know about and some of the things that we continue to see on the news. And I can only speak to the strength that, you know, Yah gives you to go against these institutions. Absolutely. and to not flinch. You know, you got to know you're doing something else because, you know, they can make your life, you know, very, very tough. And so that's part of some of the challenges. And then even getting to the other parts of the project, there's a lot of people, you know, because one of the things about these stories is it's not just that happened back then. There's a lot of people still in power that do not want
for sure
things to be talked about. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
And not talking because there's a commercial level which you can talk about.
For
that's
sure.
that's where you can say anything you want to say about that. Once you start to cross over into some other uncomfortable conversations, not just, you know, not just from a European side, but also a Black side, because there's some. I remember somebody told me in L.A., and this was very powerful. I was like, they said, you know what? There was a guy. He was from the Dead Poets, like no, the not the Dead Poets, but it was a poet group back in like the 70s or 80s. It was really popular, like in L.A. And he said, the fight in the 70s and the fight with civil rights really wasn't what they put on the TV.
Hmm.
That was the commercial. It was about the leadership in the community that we were wanting to move, because they were representing us and telling and going on the camera and representing us to the world and saying, this is us. And we wanted to separate,
for sure,
separate the streets and the people in the real community versus like what's commercialized. And I feel like that is what's still going on right now. It's like it's a commercialization of the heart of where we really want to go as a people. But that's so popular, right, that there's not the other many voices, you know. And if another voice comes, it's like, well, what is that, you know?
Absolutely.
And so, I guess as a filmmaker and as a storyteller, I'm excited about that, you know. I'm excited, right, about that, you know, part of it.
I could be in this vein like another 54,000 minutes, but
yeah,
because we are respectful of and that of LA Talk. I just want to tell you, Dennis, thank you so very much for doing what you've done in such a short period of time. Thank you for not giving up, even when there were days that, you know, only you and Yah know that, Yahweh know that you were there. And I am grateful to you for believing and trusting in him. And like always, my superpowers and Niles and KJ, man, we could go on and on, but that's our show today.
Damn it. Oh, man.
So thank you for being here. Thank you, Niles and KJ, for making this an enjoyable ride, man. We've got a lot of good things coming up, coming down the pike, and I'm excited about it. Don't forget to join us every Wednesday right here, 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on LA Talk Radio, and check your girl out on Monday, 7:30-ish, Facebook and now Instagram Live. Talk to Tanji. Until next time, bye. Thank you for your support.
Peace.
It's time for the Dr. Tanji Show.
Hey, you're on the air with Dr. Tanji. Talk to me.
As soon as I hear your voice, Dr. Tanji, my day is better.
Hey, Dr. Tanji. I took your advice and made some changes in my life. And you know what? I've been winning ever since. Thank you for your advice.
Now, here's Dr. Tanji.